Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Hello and welcome. I'm Paul Hoyt, and boy, I am excited to talk to you today about one of my great passions, which is helping business owners like you create and execute their growth plans so they can build the business of their dreams. I think we all know about the value of planning. We wouldn't think about building a house or implementing a software system or building a large office building without having a good set of plans. And if you are rebooting your business in some way, starting your business, remaking your business, expanding your business, those plans can be absolutely critical to your survival. We're going to talk about a couple of big things today. We're going to talk about the value of business planning, and we're going to talk about best practices in business planning. But first, let's start with the definition. So I make a big distinction in between a business plan and a business planning process. A business plan, we think of oftentimes as a document, a 2-page, a 10-page, an 80-page document that describes the business and their growth plans in detail. But business planning itself is ideally an iterative, collaborative, multi-level goal achievement process. We're going to talk about that a lot more when we get down to best practices in business planning. But I wondered as I was preparing for this talk, have there been any research papers that actually show the value of business planning to small businesses like yours? So I went into ChatGPT and Bard and DeepSeek and asked them that simple question. Have there been any research studies that show the value of business planning for small businesses? And of course, the answer was yes. And they came back with two tremendous values. Value number one was survival. Value number two was growth. As it turns out, that businesses that survive more than 5 years have a business planning process in place. 70% of them have a business planning process in place. And those companies that have a business planning process in place typically enjoy 20 to 30% greater growth than those that do not have a planning process in place. So those are the big keys. If you want to give your business the very best chance at survival, if you want to accelerate your growth to your maximum potential, then having a business plan in a business planning process in place is a great thing to do. But how does that work? Why do business plans help businesses grow and survive? I say there are five reasons for that. Efficiency, teamwork, adaptability, risk management, and financial performance. Let's jump into each one of those a little bit. When you have a plan, when you know what the step is that you're focusing on today, and the next step, and the step after that, and the step after that, it eliminates wasted time and motion. You know what you're going to do next when you get done, and you don't have to sit back and think about it for a while. It helps you stay focused, and it helps you allocate your precious resources so that you can achieve what it is that you want to achieve. When it comes to teamwork, when you have a business plan and process, a business planning process in place, and you create that plan with your team, you get not only the better ideas of your team, but you also get their buy-in, you get their loyalty. You get them participating in the process, and they don't have as much wasted time and motion either. You're all pulling in the same direction. You're all marching towards the same destination. When it comes to adaptability, when you have a plan in place, when those unexpected things happen, you have the ability to adapt your plan. If you don't have a plan in place, you can find yourself scrambling to create something very quickly and wondering what it is that you have next. But when you have a plan in place, you have an opportunity to adjust that plan based upon the things that happen that you don't expect to happen. When it comes to risk management, part of a business planning process is about identifying the risks that you might have and then making plans to mitigate those risks before you take those next steps. Every company out there is going to make a $5,000 mistake, a $10,000 mistake, and one of the benefits of having a business plan in process is that you can minimize those $5,000 and $10,000 mistakes. And the last category is finances and financial performance. When you have a budget, when you have financial projections, when you have a financial plan that matches your growth plan for your business, you have the opportunity to keep score on your business. You know how you are doing financially. Are you making the profits that you want? Are you taking home the money that you want? And when you have budgets and a budgetary process, and you have good financial management to back that up, you are far more attractive to investors and lenders who will always ask you, what is your plan and how are your financial management doing? So those are the five reasons that business plans help you with your growth and your survival: efficiency, teamwork, adaptability, risk management, and financial performance. Now let's switch the subject just a little bit and talk about best practices in business planning. I said before that business planning process was an iterative, collaborative, multi-level goal achievement process. So let's talk about those one at a time. Iterative goal achievement process means that it's not something you just do once when you start your business, but rather it's something that you do over and over again. It becomes part of your company culture. You develop a culture of planning and goal achievement. So we start out with a long-term plan, a long-term vision for who you want to be and where you want to go over the course of the next 3 to 5 years. And then we make annual plans, and then quarterly plans and adjustments to those annual plans, and monthly plans, and even weekly plans that you review every week with your staff in your staff meetings. And some people even like to make daily plans. I like to make daily plans. Every day when I start out my business, I think about the top 3 to 5 things that I am going to achieve that day. Create my action plan for the day, my positive energy plan for the day, and then I carry out that plan for the day. When I talk about a business planning process, I think it's best to be collaborative. We talked before about the power of teamwork, and teamwork makes the dream work. Teamwork makes your plan a better plan, gives you loyalty, gives you buy-in from that plan is accept, et cetera. And we think about the business planning process as being multi-level. So multi-level means not just an iterative process with multiple time levels, but it means multiple plans within your business. It means departmental plans. It means having a marketing plan, a financial management plan, a product development plan, et cetera. Now, for large companies, we implement a four-step business planning process, which can, when you understand this process, I think can bring you value, even if you are a much smaller company. The four steps of a very large company's business planning process are preparation, the planning sessions themselves, the financial projections, and then the mentoring and coaching that goes on after that. The goal, when most people think about it, is the planning sessions, but before that comes the preparations. Whenever I'm hired by a large company, and by a large company, I mean a company that has, $1 million, $10 million, $30 million in revenues to help them develop and implement their strategic growth plans and implement a business planning process for them, a goal achievement process for them. It starts with preparation. We take a look at their website. We take a look at all of their marketing collateral. We take a look at business plans they've created before. We take a look at financial performance so we can become grounded in the current status of the business before the planning sessions happen. And one of the most important things that we do during that preparation time is interviews with everybody who's going to participate in the executive planning sessions, in the strategic planning sessions. Those interviews are confidential so that they can share with us challenges and opportunities that they see, and share with us things that they may not feel comfortable sharing in the group session. We say what's wor we ask them questions about what's working well, what's not working well, who's in the position and being a stellar performer in that position, and who perhaps needs to be repositioned within the business because they're not going so well. And those kinds of questions, those kinds of conversations are not comfortable during the planning sessions themselves. When it comes to step two of the planning sessions, we typically do it offsite at a local conference room or hotel. Every once in a while, I get the opportunity to fly to some cool destination, and we fly everybody in so that we're all focused and we're all bonded in that strategic planning process that can typically last 1 or 2 days. And we talk about everything in the business from the top to the bottom. The long-term goals, the value, the vision, the why of the vision, why of the business, the mission, the products and services we offer, the value that we bring to our customers, our competition, our financial performance, our financial goals, etc. And at the end of that, we come up with a strategic planning document, which everybody has the buy-in to. In step three, then, and typically this is after the 1 or 2 day strategic planning sessions happen, in step three of that, we create the financial projections. And that's typically me working with the CFO, with the bookkeepers, with the executives of the company to take those strategic growth plans and translate them into the numbers, translate them into the scorecards, into the budgets that we're going to use to rate our performance going forward. And then the fourth step of that plan, of the larger company's business planning process, is the mentoring and the coaching, where we come back in on a quarterly basis and help them make adjustments to the plan. And in most cases, we help some of those individual team members actually execute the plans that we help them create. So we coach them through them. We give them mentoring and advice so that they have the best possible chance of actually executing that growth plan. So those are the four steps that we go through for very large companies, larger companies, $5 million, $10 million, $20 million in annual revenues. The preparation for the online, excuse me, for the on-site strategic planning sessions, the actual sessions themselves, the financial projections, and the ongoing mentoring and coaching. The cost of those, as you might expect, is typically measured in the tens of thousands of dollars, depending upon how many people will participate in the planning process and the level of mentoring and coaching that's built into the proposal, that's built into the project whenever we first go into it. But there's good news. There are business planning processes in place for much smaller businesses that don't take near as much money and don't take near as much time. I have a particular system I want to describe to you called the Confidence and Clarity System. And the Confidence and Clarity System is a five-step system that can be done in the context of a single day, but is usually done over the course of 4 or 5 weeks. And it is much less expensive and much less invasive than the big process that I described to you about that we use for very large companies. So let's talk about those five steps. Those five steps are the business clarity questionnaire, the phased growth plan, the business foundation profile, the 90-day plan, and the financial projections. In step one, with the business clarity questionnaire, we talk about the business from the top to the bottom in kind of a mini strategic planning environment. We talk about the values, the vision, where you want to go with the business, the products and services you want to provide, the value that you're bringing to your customers, your unique selling propositions, how you want to position yourself in the marketplace, the progress you have made, the team that you have in place, the intellectual property that you have, etc. And we both get very, very clear on where the business is today and where the business wants to go in the context of typically a 90-minute or so planning session. In step two of that, we do the phased growth plan. And in the phased growth plan, we take the long-term strategy or the long-term focus of the business, and we translate that into different phases of growth based upon natural milestones of growth. So in some cases, a milestone might represent the development and the launch of a specific product or service offering. In other cases, a milestone might be seasonal. Some seasonal businesses naturally divide into, say, a fall and winter or a spring and summer business. It might be we're going to operate, you know, until we hit a particular level of revenues or the number of customers, and then we're going to shift our focus a little bit. But there are, most companies do have phases of growth, and we help define that. And it's during this place, during this phase of the planning process, that we introduce the concept of key performance areas of your business. I wrote a book in 2004 called The Foundation Factor that defined 133 different best practices in seven different key performance areas or departments or functional areas of the business. And those seven key performance areas are leadership, marketing, sales, financial management, operations administration, product development, and customer service. So in each one of those areas, as we discussed a little bit before, we want a departmental plan. We want a functional area plan. So we want to create a plan for what we're going to do in each one of those areas of business over the course of the next of the three phases in business. We define the top 3 to 5 goals for the company in each one of those phases, and then identify action steps that we're going to take in each one of those departmental areas, each one of those functional areas for the business in the context of a little more detailed phased growth plan. In the third section of the confidence and clarity system, we do a business foundation profile. And the business foundation profile is a classic gap analysis. Now that you know where you want to go, now that you know at a high level how you're going to get there or how you plan to get there, you then have the opportunity to figure out which resources are necessary to have in order to execute those plans. We go through each one of the seven key performance areas of business, take a look at the best practices in that, find out what your weaknesses and your strengths are in each one of those areas. Give yourself a score from 5% to 95% in each one of those areas so that you can decide which ones of those areas, which you can see plainly, not only which one of those areas you are strongest in and weakest in, but also which one, what we need to do next in order to build up those areas, in order to get the resources that we need to actually execute the plan. I remember giving this presentation at a business conference many years ago, asking people to give themselves a score from 0 to 100% in each one of those areas. And one of the guys jumped up and said, "Paul, can I have 5 mercy points?" And yes, you can have at least 5 points. One of the other, you know, very famous speaker, Harv Eker, who used to have a company called Peak Potentials, used to tell people that how you do one thing is how you do everything. And my experience in business is that nothing could be further from the truth. Everybody has areas of business that they are weakest in and areas of their business that they are the strongest in. You can be a fantastic roofer, plumber, carpenter, etc., or personal coach, but you might not have any experience at all in marketing and sales. You can be a brilliant marketing and sales professional and not have a lot of acumen when it comes to financial management. Everybody has weaknesses in your business. And the third section of this confidence and clarity system, the business foundation profile, is designed to help you discover those areas in which you are the weakest, the areas in which you are the strongest, so that you can gather the resources you need to actually execute the plan. In the fourth section of the confidence and clarity system, we do a 90-day growth plan. I'm a huge believer in 90-day plans. I think that we humans naturally think about our life in terms of seasons and 90-day plans. So now that we know where we're going and the resources that we need and our areas of strength and areas of weakness, we can develop a 90-day plan. And again, the top 3 to 5 goals in each one of the different areas of business. so that we can determine exactly what action steps are necessary for us to take and exactly what we need to do to move our business forward with the greatest efficiency and the greatest success possible over the course of the next 90 days. Some people like to revise those plans, those 90-day plans, every 90 days. Sometimes you revise them on a rolling basis, once a month, revise and look forward to your next 90-day plan. But I'm a big fan of 90-day plans and top 3 to 5 goals that you want to accomplish over the next 90 days. And the last step in the confidence and clarity system is the financial projections. And this is a fairly high level financial projections. We only take about 90 minutes to create this. And when I do more detailed financial projections for large businesses or businesses that are raising capital, that process is typically an 8 to 10 hour process. But here we take a look at creating basic budgets and basic projections to make sure that you have a plan in place to actually build a profitable business, that you understand what it's going to take to generate that $10,000 a month, that $20,000 a month, that $50,000 a month in revenue in terms of the number of customers that you need to acquire, the number of products that you need to sell, et cetera, and making sure that you have some basic idea about what it takes to have the overhead of the business, that you're accurately forecasting your direct costs, your variable costs, and that you're accurately forecasting your operational expenses and making allowances for your taxes and for your insurance and for all the other incidental expenses that businesses incur that most first-time or early business owners really don't have a great perspective at. So those are the 5 steps in the confidence and clarity system. Step 1 is the business clarity questionnaire. Step 2 is the phase growth plan. Step 3 is the business foundation profile. Step 4 is the 90-day growth plan. And step 5 is the financial projections. Oh, and by the way, once we do financial projections, whether it be for a large business or whether it be for a much smaller business, you typically have to make some adjustments to the plan. Sometimes it's major adjustments to the plan, and sometimes it's just little tweaks to the plan once you figure out what the numbers are that are associated with the plans that you want to create. So that's why we create great growth plans and the practices that we use, the processes that we use when it comes to creating great growth plans for your business. Think about the value. Think about increasing your chances of survival. Think about accelerating your growth through having greater efficiency, greater teamwork, greater adaptability, greater risk management, and greater financial management in your company. Think about the different steps in a business planning process, getting clear on where it is you want to go and how you're going to get there, getting clear on your different phases of growth, understanding what gaps you have in the areas in which you are strongest and the areas in which you are weakest in your business, getting clear and focused on the next 90 days and understanding what budgets that you have in place. Oh, and just a word about getting clear and focused. As you create your plans in an iterative fashion, those plans get more detailed, they get more tactical, and they get smarter. So smarter to me means specific, measurable, accepted, realistic, and time-bounded. That's a little different definition that you might hear of other people. But specific, measurable, accepted, realistic, and time-bounded, with accepted being the key there, of you accepting the responsibility that you have about other people in your organization, accepting the responsibility that they have in order to do the tasks necessary to create the business. Thank you for listening. This has been Paul Hoyt. I'm a business consultant and strategist, a fractional CFO, and a personal evolution coach. You can get a hold of me anytime at paulhoyt.com or send an email.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session. As we transition to our next expert, remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.